Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. We're going to dream through this show. This show is about our dream world in beautiful, exciting ways. I'm so thrilled about doing a show like this. It's about a book called Dreaming the Soul Back Home. And to help us do the show is the author of that book, Robert Moss. Robert, welcome.
Good pig, Peter. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited about this. I loved your book. I mean, it's a book I think everybody should read.
Well, you have excellent taste and judgment.
Well, thank you. And I know you've written other books. I generally am flooded with books to read for my shows, and I would hope I can even do a future show or more with you, because I love the subject matter. It's something that's very close to home for me. This is about shamanic dreaming, and yet I am not a shamanic dreamer. I'm an intuitive, and I hear and know things when I tune in. And I would be in wonder about what would happen when you add a drum to it.
Well, it's funny how this primal technology, which has been going for some time, exactly how many thousands of years is debatable, but we get the single-headed shaman's frame drum from Central Asia, and it goes back there for at least 10,000 years, I would say. It's funny how this Paleolithic technology works to shift the average Western mind into a different state of consciousness in a very few minutes. I find that even first timers can go into a usefully altered state, into the dream time, in 12 to 15 minutes after, on the very first exposure to the drumming. Let me tell you, give you a quick vignette about that. The occasion when I first introduced this approach, the shamanic approach to dreaming, to a world audience was at a conference in the Netherlands at the University of Leiden back in 1994. I had 300 very intellectual left-brain people, the academics, analysts, etc., plus some dreamers and artists and so on, who are wild and ready to go. And a couple of Freudians there from the Sigmund Freud Institute in Frankfurt. And at the end of the exercise, which involved two people to enter each other's dreams, wide awake and conscious, and do things inside each other's dream space, the two Freudians were chasing me down a pathway through on the campus, yelling, "Shaman, shaman, stop, stop, show us your drum. How did you do that?" I said, "What do you mean, how did I do that?" They said, "We were there. We were in exactly the same space, a non-ordinary space. It started out with the dreams we have shared. It went far beyond it. We can confirm each other. Impressions. We were absolutely there. What did you do to us?" I said, "I did nothing. I just suggested it's possible." So I found that this method of altering consciousness, and if you don't have a drum at home, you can go find my drumming CD. I find that it really works like a charm for, I would say, 80 to 85% of Westerners.
Well, that's so fascinating. And what I've done over the years is, for people who aren't naturally intuitive, I've recommended hypnotic states to climb into our vision and our past, etc., and that seems to be a good vehicle as well. And this is more fun because you can do this with large groups and join each other on these journeys.
Yeah, I was just in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We had a typical scene. We had 30 people. Midwesterners, although Ann Arbor is a highly creative town, but, you know, there's a little bit of energy that needs to be raised. By the end of the weekend, we had 30 people who are capable of traveling together, wide awake, conscious or lucid, into a shared dream experience, having adventures and bringing back specific gifts. I mean, gifts of healing, gifts of insight. The difference, I mean, hypnosis is fine for certain purposes, and I have no doubt that you do it well for your purposes with your people.
Well, actually, I'm not a hypnotist.
Oh, I see. Okay. No. Well, this is not hypnosis. It's not hypnosis. You're going to become hyper awake, hyper alert. You're going to be fully conscious of what you're doing. You're not going to go into a controlled environment. You're going to go into a space suggested to you using portals that work because, for example, they're derived from your own dreams, your own memories, or those of other people in the group. And you're going to have rich adventures. And above all, you're going to bring back information and guidance and energy you can bring into the body and into everyday life. I'm very fierce about that. I don't just want to facilitate fantastic experiences in another reality. I want people to be able to bring it through in their lives, in their families, in their communities, in everyday life.
Now, have other leaders, shamanic leaders, been able to reproduce this with large crowds? Do you have people who have studied with you and are also able to make this happen?
Well, I teach my own unit program for teachers of active dreaming. Active dreaming is my preferred name for this shamanic approach to dream work and to life. It's not just about working with night dreams or even going on shamanic journeys. It's an approach towards conscious living. And so those people are leading groups, and they're leading groups all over the map. I mean, I teach all over the world. My 9 books on this, Dreaming the Soul Back Home is the most recent, are now in 21 languages. So I find myself traveling and empowering others to lead programs, literally from Brazil to Bratislava. I mean, this is going on all over. It's been growing in a human way. It hasn't been growing in a sort of, you know, mass advertised commercial way. It's been growing person by person, small group by small group, who get into the practice, love it, and then reach other people.
It's fascinating to me the areas you've been drawn to, for instance, the Baltic states, and how much time you've been there.
Well, I think we have soul countries. I mean, S-O-U-L. I think we have soul countries. I think we have soul connections. I was surprised. I'm no longer surprised by how immediate and deep I found my connection with the Baltic countries, particularly Lithuania. I first went to this area to teach what I now teach, shamanic dreaming, in 2004. We had some huge experience. I had 45 Lithuanians at a summer resort, the summer resort of Nida, and you know the history of this area. I mean, these are the bloodlands, as they've been called. These are countries which were raped and pillaged and slaughtered by both the Nazis and the Soviets. The Baltic Republics typically lost up to 50% of their population between Mr. Hitler and Mr. Stalin during and after World War II. So they have this ravaged, terrible nightmare history. So the challenge of helping people in this situation to get their cultural, their collective soul or spirit back was wonderful. So I lead 45 Lithuanians on a journey with the drum, and we're using a portal. I'm suggesting to them that they're going to go through the gateway of a tree, a favorite tree. Lithuania is a country of trees. The oak tree is particularly popular. Most of them choose an oak tree to travel through. And you know, at the end of the drumming, they've made contact with the ancestors in two ways, in the sense of making contact with the ancestors they need to release and unburden from their own energy fields in their lives, because if we're unconscious of it, we can carry terrible things from the ancestors. We can carry patterns of addiction, repetitive patterns of abuse, and so on. We know about this. So they're learning about that and learning to release it. And at the same time, they're making contact with the wise ancestors who carry the authentic traditions. And I myself, on that first adventure in Lithuania, found myself, I believe, in absolutely real contact with a Žinė, a priestess of Žemyna, the ancient earth goddess of Lithuania, receiving guidance and information and encouragement from her, including words of old Lithuanian we had to get translated afterwards. So I made a connection with the spirits of the land, so to speak, as I tend to do, frankly, wherever I go. And I find that my love of that little country and my desire to teach there continues to grow. So I've just led my 5th workshop in Lithuania, and I'm going back next year.
I think it's fascinating. And who knows what other areas of this world you'll find yourself deeply connected to in the future?
Well, my dreams will guide me. I mean, we have different patterns of dream, of course, in our society. Lots of people are going through a dream drought. But talking for a moment about spontaneous night dreams, the sleep dreams you don't ask for, which may not initially be lucid at all, which you may not necessarily want, I find I have a way of dreaming into situations I haven't visited yet, which sometimes offers both an incentive and a challenge, in that I will dream words or phrases or more than that from languages I do not know or know very little about, which will set me research assignments. I'm a lazy linguist. I really don't want to have to learn complicated languages that I do not know. But my dreams will give me messages, cues or clues in languages I don't know much about or haven't learned yet, to sort of key me into an area that is calling me. When I started living in upstate New York, those cues or clues came in an archaic form of the Mohawk Indian language. And in my craziness, eventually I did study Mohawk reluctantly. It's not an easy language to pick up, in order to decipher those dreams. And in the process, I learned something about an indigenous Native American way of dreaming and healing, which went deeper than anything I'd heard in Western psychology.
I'm so fascinated. I love this. And I want to talk to you now also, particularly about the book, Dreaming the Soul Back Home. Because at first it was a little bit challenging to say that we've left our souls behind or parts of our souls behind somewhere, and we have to go recollect them. And And I like the way it comes out, because there are different ways of understanding the soul. Different we have different words, and nobody understands the same words the same way. And you have the soul. You have so many different, and you also have you talk about our higher self as well, and so I really started to understand that there are parts of us that have, in a sense, when we were young, have stripped off from us out of their own fear of moving on, and have held that themselves back because they were afraid of, they needed to hole up somewhere, and have been stuck there. And it's a part of our consciousness that we then go and find and say, it's safe now, come on out. And through your work, people are able to find those parts of our psyche that have been too afraid and have hidden out. So could you talk about that a little?
Well, I think people understand on a gut level and on an intuitive level exactly what this is about. It's about what shamans call soul loss, and it's about what I call soul recovery. What is soul loss? It's loss of vital energy. It's loss of connection with our younger selves, maybe that child self who saw something bad happen or suffered something in childhood and went away because life was too cruel. Loss of connection maybe with that romantic teen who was disappointed or abused. So we lose parts of ourselves because bad things happen in life, and part of us does not want to be around when these bad things are happening, and it goes away. From a shaman's point of view, it may leave our body altogether. It may go somewhere else. So when a therapist or a doctor is looking at you as a patient or a client, he or she may not be dealing with all of you that needs to be dealt with, because part of you is missing. It's gone somewhere else. It needs to be reclaimed from that place and brought back. What is that somewhere else? Well, it might be a sort of version of grandma's house where you found safety when you were 5 years old. It might be a non-ordinary locale like the land of Lost Boys and Peter Pan, where part of you that didn't want to live in this world has been hanging out for a while, maybe with others. These locations are real. I mean, if we are absolutely grounded in physical reality and we think that's that, we might have difficulty understanding this. But you know what, Peter? All of us dream, and in our dreams we learn about these things. And even the hardhead who says, I don't dream, is only saying, I'm not remembering right now. Even he might wake up to the dreams at some point. So one of the things in this book, which is certainly not only about working with sleep dreams, that's just part of it, but one of the things in Dreaming the Soul Back Home is the idea that your dreams, if you tap into them, if you start remembering them, might show you where parts of you that went missing because of bad things that happened in your life might be found today. For example, you dream of the place where you used to live, or you dream of a situation when you were with your former partner. That dream could be about all sorts of things, I mean, dealing with unfinished business, etc., but it might also be saying to you, hey, wait, you left a part of yourself in that period of your life. Part of you didn't want that breakup with your former partner, for example. Part of you is still out there, maybe even with some version of her in some parallel reality, and is not with you right now. What are you going to do about this? Well, what my book shows is we all have the ability for ourselves and in helping each other to bring more of ourselves back home where it belongs and become the shamans of our souls and the healers of our lives. And dreams are the royal road for this. If we can learn the technique of using a dream as a portal or a doorway to go to an interesting place and do something interesting there. Just very briefly on that concept, which again might be exotic to those who've had no experience, but is quite easy once you learn a simple practice. It's like this. A dream is a place. You've been somewhere in your place, in that place. You can go there again because you've been to that place. You can find your way there again. Just as, you know, you found your way to wherever you're talking right now, you would get there again, hopefully, or else the show wouldn't go on. If you've been in a dream, you can go there again. Even if the dream is a very old dream, because you haven't been dreaming much lately, you can go back through that dream and you can do something. You can find something out. You can talk to people in a different landscape. And sometimes you can find a lost part of your vital energy, a part of your soul that needs to come home. This is the heart of the practice. And as you can hear, even if it initially sounds exotic or strange, it is something that we can all have access to because we all dream. Even if we don't remember, we all have access to this material. It is our human birthright.
There's so much we haven't been taught about our minds and reality, and that it is all an illusion and we're in charge. and we can create intention and purpose to change reality, and or at least explore in the larger reality that actually exists.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, a lot of this is about training the imagination and getting to the habit of using the imagination more. The poet Tagore, the Bengali poet Tagore, said this with poetic insight. He said, the stronger the imagination, the less imaginary the results. I teach people to do the vision thing, to grow the power of imagination, to do this in conscious meditation, to do this on a theme, to do this in safe places that can be created in the imagination where you can go again and again and again, to vision the life that you want to bring healing to the body and the soul for yourself and others. We do have the ability to change the world around us. And I like to say that one of the ways that shamans do this is they tell a better story about the world, and they tell a better story about the body, and if they tell it well enough, then the body and sometimes external circumstances begin to adjust. A lot of this, at the heart of it, is about finding the bigger story of our lives, the braver story of our lives, and living that story and telling that story really, really well. As a teacher, I operate by stories. And as somebody whose cause is to empower others, what I do is I help other people to find the stories they really need to tell and to live and to bring them through and to claim their voices and step out of those little stories, you know, those old histories, those histories that bind, and those patterns of expectation and limitation that are bound on us by other people who've given up on the big story. So a lot of this is about stepping out of the little unsatisfactory dead-end stories of life into a bigger drama.
See, and what you're showing me is the opportunity for people to participate, because what I do in my classes and in private readings with people is I can climb into their many different stories and see who they are in, even in other realities, and explain that to them, and it gives people a lot of revelation because it makes sense, and it's beautiful. I have classes where I'll address each student in the class and talk about who they really are in their larger being, what their purpose is, and where they've been, what their journeys have been. Who they're here to be in this life. And it's amazing what that opens up, the doors that it opens up for people. And that's only hearing it from me, but it makes sense. It you know, it's meat for them to chew on, and they love it. And it drives home an opportunity to hold ourselves in a deeper, stronger way. And what you're offering is actually the vehicle for people to go there themselves. It's not common. I'm in New York City. There aren't too many places in New York that are offering people this personal experience of travel into their own deeper stories.
Well, people in New York City can come to New York Open Center this Friday evening and this Saturday and work with me directly. I don't come to New York City very often, but as it happens at the end of this week, I'm teaching in New
York
City.
Well, this show won't be aired until the following week, so we're recording.
Right.
If I had known that, we could have recorded the show earlier.
Well, let's not miss the moment to say then they can learn to be time travelers and they can travel backwards to the moment I was in New York City, or forward or across space to the places I'll be in the future.
Right,
by the way,
right.
This is one of the things about dreaming. We're time travelers in our dreams. We travel to the past and the future, and we travel to parallel realities, and once we wake up to the fact this is possible, we can learn to do it consciously. In terms of what you're giving people in your vision of their larger self, I think that's very empowering. There are two steps beyond what you described to me, which
sure.
We do in my program.
Sure.
The first is to get people to go there directly, to go to the place where they can see these things for themselves.
Exactly.
So they're not simply receiving it from someone else, and then they can claim its full power. And then, of course, they must take action. They must take physical action to embody this and carry this in life. I won't let anybody leave my programs until they have committed to do one simple physical action to honor what they have learned and experienced and bring it into the body and bring it into everyday life. So, as I say, my preferred name for what I do is active dreaming, which means bringing dreams into manifestation, into fulfillment in the body and in the world.
Sometimes it's hard not to do something based on a new truth that you know about yourself. And so this is an opportunity, and part of the book, you go into so many things. This book is fairly comprehensive in referring to probably what's in your other books. And it opens up doors to many different truths that you've learned beyond bringing the soul back home. It's more about learning about parallel universes and how...
Well, there's a chapter called Soul in the Multiverse, which is a pretty exciting chapter. It's fairly short, but it develops a model for understanding our relationship with personalities connected with us in the past, future, and in parallel realities, and with why we need to connect with the greater or higher self on a different level. So there's all of that. It is the ninth of my nonfiction books about all of this, and, you know, I have a low boredom threshold, so I don't simply repeat myself in these books. The stories are new. There are many techniques, and some attempts at modeling all of this that you won't find elsewhere. But it started with Conscious Dreaming back in 1996. That was my first book on all of this. And the most recent, before Dreaming the Soul Back Home, was Active Dreaming. And I find, I'll sound like a pushy author for a moment, but I find that once people pick up one of these books, they go and find quite a few more, because there's not a great deal of overlap. And they're all prompting us, you know, to grow our lives and grow our vision.
You're definitely a guy who can't sit still. I was interested also, there's a little part in there about identifying your higher self, and I did have an experience at one point of sitting eye to eye with my higher self as it appeared to me, as it chose to, or I chose, or it chose to appear to me, and it was a very, very emotional experience to see myself in that vision of that beingness.
Right. Well, we are within the higher self. It's not inside us. We can't really lose it. We lose our connection with it. Lots of us are completely unaware that there is a self on a level beyond the ego. Or if we see something like the self on that level, we turn it into a god or goddess. I'm in favor of gods and goddesses as long as we don't get too religious or dogmatic about it. But I am persuaded by my whole life of experience and observation, the most important life teacher we will ever find is the self on a higher level, the self that Jung called the self with a great big capital S, and that I call in this book the greater self, or alternatively the higher self. And it is seeking us. And real transformation in a human life, from my point of view, and our ability to integrate the many aspects of ourselves and make peace between them, that lies in making a more solid and continuous connection with the self on a higher level, being able to rise to witness perspective over our current issues, for example, but also being able to remember, with the aid of that greater self, what the heck it's all about, because we do untold harm to ourselves and others in life when we lose the sense that this life has meaning and purpose. Humans need meaning and purpose, and one of the things that I do in my approach is to help people to find personal access to the agenda for this life, the soul agenda, the sacred purpose of this life that they might have understood before they came here but may have forgotten, because we humans are forgetful animals.
Yes, and that's some of the story that I plug into with people when they ask for my assistance. I can see those purposes and what their soul has wanted in this life. But it's so much richer than, life is so much richer than any of that. Also, as you know, in your book, you talk about that we're an accumulation of so many lives, and we can even have a future life back in time.
Yes. Yes. It's very interesting to study the migrations of soul and spirit within this life and around it. I'm an experiencer and an observer of what happens to us before and after death more than a theorist. One of the things that I've noticed in my many shamanic journeys, the ones I've done for myself, the ones I've participated in or facilitated for others, is that one of the options we sometimes have after death on the level of spirit is to go back in time to experience something fully in the circumstances of an earlier historical period. I mean, this turns, this goes against our linear conception of these things. People who think of reincarnation or transmigration of soul or spirit as being a series of lives moving forward in time don't really get it. It's multidimensional, and one of the things that can happen is we can go back to an earlier time after being released from this life if we have sufficient purposes to do it. We can do that either to understand that previous episode in the multi-personality history of the self, or we can do it because we actually have an engagement with that period that has yet to be fulfilled. These are possibilities that are looked at in this book. They're actually, those possibilities are actually explored slightly further in another book of mine called Dream Gates, which is along with this one, the book that I've written for those who want to become full citizens of the multidimensional universe.
Right, and it's so exciting. This summer I'll be interviewing a mother and son who are astral travelers, and talk about what you're talking about. Everybody should know that you're not inventing any of this. You're experiencing it and teaching about what your experiences have been.
Yeah, you don't want to listen to anybody on these subjects, at least not for very long, unless they are experiences. All of this is not a spectator sport. The only people who are reliable on this are people who do a lot of it, the frequent flyers, the experiences. In one aspect of this in my life and in my ability to teach the things that I do is that I'm one of those who died and came back. Today we talk about the near-death experience. Raymond Moody invented that phrase. When I was a kid in Australia in the 50s, we didn't have that phrase. The doctor simply said of me, "Oh, the kid died and he came back, didn't he?" I mean, I did manage to do this three times in childhood, and my experience was, on one of these occasions, were not simply, you know, seeing light and having people give me a hug and tell me to go back. I seemed to live a whole life somewhere else. I started writing about this. I started writing about it quite openly because I agree with Mark Twain when he says, "I don't want to hear about the moon from someone who hasn't been there." We need the authority of experience, and we need to learn to respect the authority of experience. I mean, a certain kind of scientific mind or scientist mind — scientist means someone who follows the dogma of what they think is science rather than the scientific method — the dull scientist mind will say, "Well, this is all anecdotal." Well, you know, it's beyond anecdotal when you have a whole vast inventory of the data of experience coming from, in this case, the author himself, and then from thousands of people he's worked with over the last 20 years. That's beyond anecdotal. That is the kind of data on the non-ordinary reality and our ability to travel and operate within it, and about what happens after death and about parallel universes that lots of people are hungry for. We're hearing lots of interesting things from science these days. We're hearing from physics, for example, that it's quite likely we are living right now in one of maybe infinite parallel universes, in a parallel universe right next to us. You and I are not talking on the phone because we didn't do this interview. And then it goes on and on and on. Well, how the heck can we understand this stuff for ourselves? I offer tools for doing that. I offer tools for understanding what it means if the observer effect, which says that if the act of observation changes things, operates at human levels. I offer tools for understanding firsthand what it means to be living in one of many parallel universes and what it would mean to reach consciously for gifts and lessons from a parallel life right now. I offer practical tools for exploring what it would mean to be a conscious time traveler, able to travel consciously to your younger self, your older self, or to personalities in other times, communicate with them in their own now time, and bring it together in a way that does some good for everybody. This is terrible, exciting stuff.
I have to actually interrupt only because we have less than 2 minutes to go, and I could talk to you for days and days and listen to you for days and days.
No dead air on this show, Peter.
Well, excuse me?
No dead air on this show.
Well, that's true. That's true. I'm so excited. And I think everybody should rush to a website called Moss Dreams, M-O-S-S, dreams.com. And you're amazing. I just love talking with you. I would love to meet you someday and experience some journeying with you, and I'm amazed. The book is called Dreaming the Soul Back Home, Shamanic Dreaming for Healing and Becoming Whole. New World Library is the publisher. They always come out with incredible books, and this is amazing. This book is amazing. You're amazing. So I want to thank you. Anything else you can say as we sign off?
Well, I'll give you my dreamer's wish to you and your listeners. May your best dreams come true. And may you remember them.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter.
Okay. Robert Moss, thanks. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, PRN.FM. And I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. lots to talk about all the time. And thank you so much for listening.